Has everybody had a good week this week? We had a very busy week. Monday we had a funeral for Brother Stokes, and that went well. Hated to see him pass away, but he's been a big encouragement in my life growing up. But it was a good service where we could go and honor him and his family. So that went good. And then we had revival Monday through Wednesday. My dad preached revival at Hopewell Riverside, and we sang. And can you believe it? But Thomas and Ian both showed up on Tuesday night. It was good to see. They did not drive as far as I drive. No, I don't think that. No, they worked down there, and they came by on Tuesday night and got to see me in my camouflage coat, and it was cool, wasn't it? Y'all liked it, didn't you? Thomas almost thought about buying him one. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't know what it looks like. One day y'all might get to see it. No, we had a good time in revival. We had one guy that he got saved on Monday night, so that was a blessing to see him come forward and get saved on Monday night. And then they brought a friend with them, and he talked to Daddy for a little while after service was over and was just bawling. I don't know what he's dealing with, don't know what's going on in his life, but Daddy got to speak with him for a little while, and that was good. It's good to see church members, and it's good to see church members that bring other people. Good to see people bring people that need to get something out of the Word of God. I was scrolling through some Facebook stuff, and I kind of captured this one. It says 43% of millennials stated they either don't know, don't care, or don't believe God exists. And this is a surprise. We turned our churches into glorified nightclubs, starring preachers who deliver self-help sermons and worship leaders who want to be the next American Idol. Ain't that what churches become? They don't want to preach doctrine like we preached this morning in Sunday school, because that offends people, right? They don't want to stand with the Word of God and say this is infallible and inerrant Word of God. They want to get away from those kind of things because it hurts people's feelings. You know, every time I get up and preach, it's not my intention to step on your toes and to hurt your feelings, but when I get up and preach, I hope every once in a while it happens, because that'll change your life. I know that when I'm studying it, it gets on me. I know I like to go to preaching this week. Daddy was preaching about some different things, and I know that he got on me. Lord Jesus Christ got on me and convicted my heart about some things, especially about being a better witness and being a better testimony to people. And those kind of things, they should get on you every once in a while. Every once in a while, you should be a little uncomfortable sitting in the pew. I don't try to beat you up too much. I don't think I do a terrible job of that. I try to uplift you at least a little bit. But church has changed over the years. It's gotten into a big production more than just church. It's more of a business nowadays. And that's the way people want it. They want it to be a big business, and they can make a lot of money, and they can do all this stuff. And some of that stuff's fine. There's some things people do, and it's great to have outreach ministries and all these things, and those things are fantastic, and you have to have some money to be able to do certain things. And those things are great to be able to do that, but it can go too far. I love good music. I'm a music person. I love it. I love having singings, and I love all that stuff. But when you get a true worship pastor up here, and that's literally all it is a big show, what's the point? What's the point? I'm more modernized. I understand that. But, I mean, if y'all get strobe lights in here, I'm going to have to do something about that. I'll like, knock them out or something. I don't do strobe lights. I don't do all that stuff. I don't do smoke machines. You know, I ain't about that life. That's just not me. I'm a little more old school than that, I guess. And like I said, you know, that kind of stuff just gets to where it becomes more of a production of church. Get a bunch of preachers that get up there and just preach how good you are. Just all this stuff that makes you feel tingly inside, right? And sometimes I just don't cut it. Sometimes you need to tell somebody, hey, you're dying and going to hell if you don't get saved. You know what that does is it makes the one who's lost, dying, and go to hell realize they're a sinner. It excites the one who's saved, though. You see? It's going to rain. We're going to lose power here in a minute. Y'all ever preached in the dark? I have. So we lose power. I'm just going to keep trucking. I might have to get a flashlight out or something. But it'll be all right. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Some of y'all that study your Bible getting scared already when you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Y'all think I'm going to start preaching on dress and stuff. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. Y'all read through the chapter and go, oh. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, I exhort, therefore, at first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's pray this morning, brother. Brother Vic, will you please pray for us? Amen. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. When's the last time that you really, truthfully cared about somebody else? Not just when they have a problem, though. We prayed for Brother Day. We prayed for Brother Junior. We pray for different things, but when's the last time you just prayed for somebody just because? Just because you actually genuinely care for somebody. It doesn't happen very often. Let's just get real about it. You got to have a problem for me to pray for you. When in reality, why wouldn't you just pray for everybody all the time, and then maybe the problem wouldn't ever get there? You ever thought about that? Truly caring for all men. You see, we go to church and we put on this air that we love everybody, right? Yeah, we care for everybody in here. This is going to be a shocker. Not everybody likes everybody. Some of you tolerate each other, right? Why don't you start caring for people? I found this out a long time ago. You pray for somebody you don't like, you'll start liking them a whole lot more. Shocker, right? There's a guy I used to work with when I was singing. Could not stand him. Couldn't stand him. You travel in a 45-foot can and somebody's nasty, whew, there ain't a whole lot of room to be nasty in 45 feet. Couldn't stand it. Got on my last nerve. And I remember going through months and months and telling my wife, I'm going to have to quit. I can't do this. He's driving me nuts. And my wife, being more spiritual than me, says, maybe you ought to pray for him. Well, hallelujah. You don't know what he's going through. You don't know what he's dealing with. All these things. I'm like, what? Hush, woman. Let me be the man, you know. A lot of times they're more spiritual than you are. Let's just get real about it. They care more about people than we do. So I did. I said, you know what? I'm going to pray for him. I pray for him every day. Was I agitated still? Most of the time, yes, I was agitated. But I remember thinking about a month in, my agitation was going away. You know what I also noticed? I noticed he started to change. He started to change. I also noticed this. We kind of got to where we could communicate a little better, and I understood a lot of his situation he was dealing with. You got a guy driving from West Virginia to Gadsden, Alabama every week in a broke-down car just trying to make a living. You got a young man that had just recently got a divorce and has a baby girl that he's trying to get back to every week so that he can just see her for a moment before he has to go back on the road again. You see, you don't know everybody's situation. You don't know what they're dealing with. The more I prayed for him, the more things got a little better. And there was a time that he left, and I said, hallelujah, thank God he's gone. I still talk to him about once a month. He's pastoring a church somewhere in Ohio. He's a Yankee, amen. The only Yankee I like is Brother Dave and Miss Barb. That's the only ones I care. All the rest of them, a little skeptical. But I noticed that over praying for this young guy that my thoughts changed. So when's the last time you prayed for somebody that you didn't care for? When's the last time that you truly tried to understand the situation that they may be going through? You may not be able to understand all of the aspects of it, but you might be able to get just a little better thought on it and how it works. It says pray for all men. Now, the second verse gets a lot harder, and this is where y'all going to get real uncomfortable. It says, for kings and for all that are in authority. Woo. Now, how many people like praying for them people that are in authority over you? Not very often, right? Not very often do you like to pray for them people in authority over you. You know, I found out this a long time ago, and it's kind of funny, Brother Scott was talking about it this morning on the phone. I used to think if I could just own my own business, I wouldn't have to work for anybody anymore. I'd be the boss, right? I could do what I wanted to do. So what did I do? I went and started me a lawn business. Guess what? They tell you how to cut the grass. You got a bunch of them. I had 75 at one time. Because you see, if I wanted to get paid, I cut it the way they wanted it cut. I remember going through my list, and you know, you think, Brother Randy understands probably, he cuts a lot more rural type yards. I cut like neighborhoods, like little 15, 20 minute yards. Those 15, 20 minute yards, they want them to look like carpet. You know, it's very plush, green, tall, thick grass. Out here, you can kind of just go. A little different. But you always want to do a good job, and you understand some of them ones that you got to make look real pretty. If you got a list of people that you cut, everybody got a different height. And you got to remember all those. You got 75 yards to cut, you got 75 different heights you got to cut them at. And I always thought it'd be great, you know, if I could set that thing on 3 inches and just cut everybody's yard the same, it'd be fantastic. But everybody wants something different. Why? It's just their idea of what they want their yard to look like. Guess what that means? That means they're my authority. They tell me what to do every yard I go to. When the old lady comes up and says, hey, can you pick up all them sticks over there? Yes, ma'am, I can, but it's going to cost you $10 more. I remember one yard that I had, she came out. I want my yard to look like the neighbor's yard. Well, hallelujah, because the neighbor's yard looks better than yours. I said, well, if you want the yard to look like your neighbor's yard, you're going to have to do what the neighbor does. Amen. gonna have to get it sprayed. If you don't want to have weeds, you got to spray it. You got to treat it. You got to do the proper things. You're gonna have to let it get taller than a half of an inch. It can't look like dirt. You got to actually make it look like grass. You got to let it grow. I said, I got to cut it at about 3.5 inches to get it to look like your neighbor's yard. Well, you do what you need to do, honey. You know how to work it. But I am not paying for somebody to spray my yard. Well, amen. Then we're down to the next thought. Well, I can put some weed and feed on it, hope for the best. Well, that'll be better than nothing, right? So we went through the process. I worked that whole year trying to get that yard to look right. And I remember when I cut it for the very first time at 3.5 inches, I thought, this stuff looks like carpet. I mean, I bought a bagger and had all that nice fancy stuff for it. And man, that thing just looks so good. I got 10 more yards out of that neighborhood just because of that one yard and how it looked. Fantastic. And it was real dark, deep green. I remember that lady coming out one day and saying, I just don't like it. I don't like having to walk out here in this tall grass in the mornings. I just want it to be short. Yes, ma'am. Why? Because she's the authority, right? So what do? I chop it down back to dirt. Let it go. Worked all that time for nothing. Because she's an authority. Do you pray for the authority in your life? Because everybody's got one. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're retired. Your wife's your authority. Your husband's your authority. Whatever. Everybody got somebody. You ever thought about praying for the government? Come on now. You ever thought about it? This administration we're under is not my ideal administration. Okay? That's my 2 cents worth. I can say what I want to. I got a job. I can say it. Okay? It's not my ideal administration. But guess what? They're still an authority, right? You know what I've caught myself doing a lot of times? I pray for the president, and I pray for the different officials. But how I pray is wrong. You see, I pray that they'll change the way that they think and the way that they are. Have you ever thought about just praying, saying, hey, God, would you just save our souls so they don't die and go to hell? God will fix all the rest of it. You ever just got up and prayed and said, you know what? I hope my boss has a good day, even though you might not like him. Not God, fix the situation so I don't have to deal with him anymore. Because that's what you do. God, kill them so they don't come back to work. Let them get fired. I can't stand that boss of mine. Hopefully he'll get fired. Have you ever thought about praying and actually asking God to say, just help me to be able to understand why he's the way that he is? Hey, I'm a man just like all y'all, okay? I get blowed up and get mad in a heartbeat. My fuse is about that long right there. And I want to take on the world. We walk into a meeting and my boss will look at me and say, what do you want to do about the production team? I said, well, fire them all. Fire everybody. I'll do it all myself. We can't do that. I know we can't do it, but let's fire them all anyways and see how it pans out. I'm just that type of person. If you don't want to work, fire them. What if I got up every morning and said, you know what, God? Help them to have a good day. Help them to be able to work hard today. God, help me be able to direct them the proper way so that they can do the job properly instead of them always being the problem. You know, you don't want to pray for those kind of things, do you? You ever thought about getting up and praying for your teachers? Ooh. Yeah, when I was in high school, you know, that's tough. And especially if you're homeschooled, it's real tough. You still need to pray for them. That praying for authority thing gets a little complicated. But do you believe the Word of God, or do you just act like you do? Do you just kind of get the pieces you want out of it? Because mine says that for kings and for all that are in authority, Why? So that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You want to have some peace? You better start praying for some people. If you want to live a good life, a good, peaceable, godly life, pray for the people that are in authority over you. That's the only way you're going to get some relief out of this thing. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's what God wants you to do. God wants you to pray for people. God wants you to bring their names before Him. Why? He's the only one that can fix the situation anyway. You can complain about it all you want to, and guess what? Nobody cares. You can argue. It doesn't matter. It doesn't usually change a thing, does it? You can get mad at everybody you want to, and they're going to be the same person no matter what. But if you got on your knees and prayed for them, it might start changing some things. You know what it's probably going to change? You. Because you're the one that needs the heart change. God may open up a door for you to be able to witness to that person for the very first time if you just pray for them. I'm not saying this is easy, okay? Trust me, it isn't easy. But not everything in Christianity is easy, right? Not everything in this Christian life is easy. Sometimes you've got to do something that's uncomfortable every once in a while. If I could ask you to pray for somebody this week, I'd just like you to pick one. Just one person. One person that just gets under your skin. And every morning, before you see this person, preferably, pray for them. Not some half-hearted prayer now, okay? Not some half-hearted prayer. Oh. Sorry, I looked at you at the wrong time. Not, by the way, he said Thomas. I'm just saying. What we really need to do is pray for Ian is what we need to do. Every single day, wake up, pray for Ian, because he got to deal with Thomas every day. I'm sorry, that one got me off. I couldn't help it. I could not help it. You're good, brother. That's why I love coming to church here. Even when I'm making serious points, we can just get off of it for a minute. You got to pray for people. You got to care for people. You got to want to see souls saved. You get on into verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You ever thought about that? God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell, right? Not one single solitary person does God want to see die and go to hell. God created hell for a reason. Do you know that? He created hell for the devil and his angels, right? He didn't create it for you. He didn't create it for you. He didn't create it for you. He created it for the devil and his angels. He wanted you to be able to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. That's why He died on the cross for you, so that you could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He expects all men to get saved. Why? He died on the cross and already paid the price. He said, here, just take it. You say, you talk about this all the time. It's the best thing to talk about. It's the best thing we can talk about. It's just salvation. Don't get too excited. You get you a good dose of salvation, you will pray for somebody. I'm telling you right now. I mean, get you a good dose of it. When you get on fire for God, things will change in your life. Not this surface Christian stuff. I'm talking about when you say, you know what, God? I am all in it for you. You'll go find somebody to talk to God about. You'll be walking around Walmart just hoping somebody will give you an opportunity to say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior? You'll go find somebody. You'll be passing out tracts at the gas station you stop at every day. You think I'm crazy? Listen to this. Revival last week. You were there when he came. We got a little gas station right down the road from our house. We get all of our diesel for tractors, and Daddy gets gas there every 2 days because he's got a Toyota Tundra that just drinks it. So he gets gas there. We go get, drinks and stuff like that. This little Indian man runs a little gas station there. And Daddy talks to him every day. Been witness to him for years. Years and years and years. Well, guess what? He comes to revival Tuesday and Wednesday night. Little Indian man. Why? Because Daddy's been faithful. Daddy's been praying for him. Daddy walks in the store and doesn't just push on him. Daddy just walks up and says, "Hey, you been to church lately?" No, sir. Maybe you ought to come to revival tonight. Where's it at? Hopewell Riverside. He said, "Where's that at?" He said, "I want to look it up on your phone." He looked it up on his phone. And Joker showed up. And not only did he show up Tuesday night, he came back Wednesday night. And Wednesday night, he crying like a baby in the back. Come to find out, he's already been saved. He got saved some years back and got out of church. And he used his gas station as an excuse to get out of it. He told Daddy the other day, he said, "I'm telling you right now," he said, "I'd just about rather close it on Sundays and go to church." He said, "I think God would bless it." Right now, this morning, he's sitting in my dad's church. Why? Because somebody was faithful, right? Because every time Daddy goes in there, "God loves you, buddy. You been to church lately? You know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior?" We pick on him back and forth. I call him money every time I go in there. He got more money than all of us. Do you really pray for people? Do you care about somebody's soul? Why? Jesus Christ doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not." That's kind of different, ain't it? He says he speaks the truth in Christ. You see, people don't always want to hear the truth. That's what makes all this difficult. You start talking about praying for somebody and really caring for somebody's soul to see whether or not they're in the faith or see whether they're saved. When you start going through this process, what ends up happening is when you tell the truth, sometimes people get a little backwards on you. And what you'll do is you'll get discouraged about that situation. You go invite somebody to church, and guess what happens? They don't show up. You invited another young man to the revival the other night. He didn't show up, did he? Does that mean you should stop? No. Just keep on doing what you're doing. There'll be another revival. There'll be another church service. There'll be another opportunity. See, don't stop just because it didn't happen this time. But you can get discouraged in those situations and say, "I'm done with that." When you give somebody truth, sometimes it's hard for them to swallow, but you got to keep giving them truth anyway. You got to keep preaching it to them anyway. You got to keep telling them anyway. When I get up here and I start talking about preaching, and does it get on your toes here and there? It might. It might. It's not because I want to hurt your feelings. It's because I want to tell you what the truth is. I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, right? Every bit of it. Not just part of it. Every bit of it. I can't just preach all the good stuff. I got to preach all the bad stuff too, right? There's certain things you got to say, "Hey, this is sin. That's just what it is. And if you're living in it, you better get out of it." Sometimes when you tell somebody the truth, they don't want to listen. But don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged when you give somebody truth. He says, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Paul says, I give them truth and I give it to them in Christ. And then he goes on and says, I would that all men pray, right? Every single one of them. I would that everybody would. I wish everybody would pray for somebody else. We've gotten to where, how do I put this in a nice way? We're almost too independent Baptists. Amen. That was a good way to put that, even if I do say so myself. We're too independent Baptists. I love being an independent Baptist, okay? It's what I am. I don't apologize for it. Somebody asked me, where are you pastor? New Hope Independent Baptist Church. I'm fine being an independent Baptist. Okay? You might have a problem with it. That's fine. Go read the Bible. Just saying. You might find out why you are an independent Baptist. I'm fine with being an independent Baptist. But sometimes with the independent Baptist movement, you can get too independent. You can get in that structure of how they've done things for years and years and years and years and years and years. And that structure isn't really based on Bible as much as it is based on somebody else's conviction. Convictions are great, okay? I have convictions. There's a certain way I do things for a certain reason. But guess what? My convictions ain't Tim's convictions. Never thought about it? I can't force you to act like me. He says amen. Because he ain't fixing his hair like mine. My convictions and yours are different. Convictions can be a lot of things. It could be why I wear a suit on Sunday morning. You don't wear one. Does it make you less spiritual? No, sir. Sure don't. Is it because I don't wear a tie, so now my dad's more spiritual? Because he calls me a heathen all the time for not wearing a tie. Y'all think the stuff he says is, you should be at home sometimes. He can be rough. The convictions sometimes are just convictions. And convictions get more the longer you're saved, by the way. You get more standards and you get more convictions the longer you're saved. And it's not my job to give those to you. It's the Word of God's job to give those to you. It's my job to pray for you that you get in the Word of God. It's my job to care for you enough to say, hey, would you read it for yourself and study it? Would you pick it up every single day and just read just a scripture or two? So that you can be closer to God? Would you get on your knees before God and just pray for somebody because you want to see one more person saved? I hope God comes back, and He could come back right now and it would be ecstatic. I'd be so happy about it. Why? Because I hate having to wrap up sermons anyway, so it'd just make my whole life a whole lot easier. If He'd just come back, it'd be nice. I hope He comes back, but there is one prayer that I have, and it's just, God, give me one more. That whole part where Paul says it's more needful for you. You ever thought about that? God, just give me one more. Because I know lost people. There's lost people that I'm in contact with. And to think that I don't get another opportunity just breaks my heart. Does it break your heart? Do you really care for them? If you don't, you need to get that fixed. If you don't care about anybody else's soul, you need to see whether you're saved or not. That's what being a Christian is. That's what being a whole Christian is just trying to serve God. I like how he says, he talks about raising hands, right? See, we've gotten too Baptist. We can't raise our hands anymore. That's what the holiness does. You know, it's okay to raise your hands when you're worshiping God, right? How's my dad put it? He says he likes people that raise their hands and don't have questions. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? They're just praising God. Sit back in the back of that revival and you look over that church and you see the men in that church and they're just sitting there going, glory to God. Ain't nothing wrong with that. They ain't putting on a show. They just worshiping God. When's the last time you worshiped Him? When's the last time you've been driving in your car and you just really started worshiping God? Because you see, you can do it in your car because ain't nobody else there to see you. Yeah? You ever thought about this, though? The way you worship in your car when nobody else can see you, you could do that in church, too. No, we can't do that. That's not how the standard is. Forget the standard. Worship Him anyway. We talk about having fun in church. I love having fun in church. I love picking on people and joking on people. But you can have fun in church a different way, too. That's because everybody's actually worshiping Jesus Christ and having a good time. You can get excited about your salvation every once in a while. You can say amen. You can say, that's right. Hallelujah. All those words are acceptable. You can raise your hand. You can run if you want to. I am not running. I was built for comfort, not for speed. You run all you want to. If it gets good enough, I might chase you for a little while. Now, don't be like that YouTube video where that guy jumps into the baptistry. We ain't got water in there. That's going to hurt you hit that thing. Some of y'all will be looking for it later, I know. When's the last time you cared for somebody? I was reading through these scriptures this week, and I was thinking about what to preach and what to do, and God just got all over me reading those scriptures. Do I really pray for people? Do I really care about people? Do I pray for the people that are in authority over me? Do I care about somebody's soul enough to actually get on my knees and ask God to change their life? Do I care enough to get on my knees and ask God to change my life? Change who I am. It starts with you. If you get your life right, guess what? God can use you. This Barb comes and plays. Of course, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's the most important thing you can do. It's hard to pray for somebody when you don't even know who you're praying to. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I'd love to be able to take the Word of God, open it up, and show you how that you can know that you know that you know that you're saved. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. This morning, if you're struggling with some stuff, maybe you've already accepted Jesus Christ and you're just not where you need to be. Maybe you don't care about people like you should. Maybe you ought to come down to the altar and just pray and ask God to help you be a better witness, be a better testimony. Maybe you don't care about the authority in your life and maybe you need to get that settled with God and you need to realize, hey, I need to pray for Him anyway because that's what God expects out of me. It'll change your life, I promise. As you stand to your feet, Miss Barb plays.